John chapter 3. How many of you have ever realized you were wrong? How many of us have ever realized we were wrong, but we didn't know how to correct it, how to fix it? Right? Oh, I'm wrong. But what do I do now? Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, was a ruler of the Jews. The Bible describes him that way. He was a Pharisee. He was in the upper echelon, if you will. He was in the government, more or less. I know that the Romans occupied Israel, but as far as the Jews go and the authority goes, he was up there. He had clout. He had credibility. He was a man of deep faith. He believed what he believed. Does that make sense to you? I mean, he didn't just say, I'm a Jew. He was all in. He didn't just say, I'm a Pharisee. He was all in. He didn't just say, I'm going to temple. When he went to temple, man, he went to temple. You ever see people, they go to church, but they're not really at church. They're back there on their phones. I don't know what you're doing on your phones. I'm looking at my Bible. Yeah, sure you are. All right, but they have, Jason says, really, I am. All right. But the people that have their phone and they're writing their grocery list and they're looking at Facebook and they're doing all these things. They're at church, but they're not really at church. Well, when Nicodemus went to temple, he was really at temple. He was all in. He was participating. He was part of it. He was paying attention. He was awake the whole time. And so he'd pay attention at church. That's what he would do. He was all in. He was a real man of faith, but he was honest. And he had been seeing some things happen around the country and hearing some things that were happening around the country. And he said, something's missing with what I've got if that's what's going on out there. If this is what's really going on, if this man is really healing the lame, healing the blind, the mute can speak, the deaf can hear, the blind can see, the lame can walk, the dead are living again. If he can really walk on water and feed thousands with a few loaves and fishes, if he can really turn water to wine and make Peter's mother-in-law feel better, right? And catch fish off of Peter's boat, and Peter's been fishing all night and couldn't catch anything. If that's real, what am I missing? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am a member of this church and I come to this church and I give to this church and I'm really a part of it. But when you think about the power of God and the forgiveness of sin, you're still living in guilt and still living in the past. And God says you can be free from all that. And you say today, something's missing. You may find out you've been religious, but you hadn't been saved. You may find out that you've been participating, but you're missing the power of God. Nicodemus realized that. He said, Jesus doesn't fit into my religion. And all of my peers on the Pharisaical council oppose Jesus. And yet, he seems like the real deal to me. So how did he reconcile that? He said, I don't know the answer, but I've got to find the answer. How many of us are willing to do that this morning? If we don't know the answer, we're willing to find the answer. We're willing to seek it out. We're not willing to just settle for what we've got. And Nicodemus wasn't willing to settle. Nicodemus didn't say, well, that's his religion, I got mine. Nicodemus didn't say, well, that's the way they do it in the country, but we're in the city. Nicodemus didn't settle. He wanted to understand. But he had a problem. If he went to Jesus at the camp meeting, somebody would see him there and they would get back to his peers. I had a preacher one time said, I heard you were at camp meeting. I said, yeah, I know who told you because he was there too. Nicodemus couldn't just go where Jesus was. He had to go secretly, privately. Look at what it says, John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi. Here's a Pharisee. Here's someone that others look up to as a leader in the Jewish community. And he says to Jesus, you're a teacher. Calls him teacher, rabbi. Calls him, and now see, a rabbi, that's just not any teacher. That's a recognized teacher. That's one that's like official. People see that he's actually got the credentials, the credibility. He knows what he's talking about. And Nicodemus says to Jesus, Rabbi. What's that next word in your Bible? What's that? You see, he'd been talking to some people, hadn't he? It says we. Nicodemus was the one that was chosen of the group that he was in. And they say, well, you go talk to him because we're afraid. We read about Nicodemus, he's by name, and then later he's named again in the life of Christ, particularly in the discussion. But he's the only one that was willing to go, but he wasn't the only one that had a conflict. He wasn't the only one who had a quarrel with his conscience. He was struggling because he said, yeah, we've got all this. This is our tradition. This is our history. This is our religion. But something's missing. Guys, I wouldn't give you a dollar for a religion. We need a relationship with God Almighty. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ the Savior. And Jesus was walking and ministering, and Nicodemus and his friends could see there was something different about him. He could see the hand of God on his life. Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. He calls him teacher, and he alludes to his teaching. And yet, that's not what got Nicodemus' attention. It was the teaching that they said, that's genuine, that's real, that's authoritative. Remember when Jesus spoke, and they would say, oh, wow, he speaks as one having authority. He speaks as one who knows. You know why? Because when the Bible says, in the beginning, Jesus was there. When he talked about Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, Jesus was there. When he talked about Gideon, the captain of the Lord of the army of God, Jesus was there. The fleece, Jesus was there. All these times, he could talk about all these events in the Old Testament because he was there. He was an eyewitness to it all. And so he spoke with authority. And they said, wow, he speaks like he has such passion and like he has such understanding. Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, the hand of God on your life. But what is it that clued him in? He said, no one could do these miracles except God be with him. So it's the miracles, not the teaching, that drew them in. It was the wondrous works that drew them in. His teaching was different. It was more authoritative. It was more passionate. It was, you know, if he was there. You ever hear people pray and you can say, they're just praying a prayer? And then you hear somebody else praying, it's like they're talking to God. They are in the room, the holiest room. They're with God at God's throne. They're talking to him. It's different. They said there's a difference in the way Jesus speaks, but it was his miracles. No man can do these things except God be with him. And Jesus answering said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus doesn't understand that. In the Pahokee translation, Nicodemus said, say what? Say what? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He said, I don't follow you. I don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus explains to him that it's not just the physical birth that we must have, but also a spiritual birth, which we must have. Look at what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, verse 5, except a man be born of water, right, flesh, and the Spirit. You say, well, I don't believe that's talking about flesh. Okay, let's move down to verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The Bible will interpret itself. I promise you it will, if you just let it. Born of the flesh, born of the water, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, here's the thing. How many of you were born the first time? I know you don't remember it, but you were there, and it did happen. We're all born of water. That water broke. Whether the doctor made it happen or it naturally occurred, the water broke, and here you are. You were born of water. Now, God came to us by His Holy Spirit, and He said, let me turn something on in you. Let me bring something to life in you. Let me give you a spark and an energy and an enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm, you understand, it is God in us. That's what it is. Theos, enthusiasm. It's God in us. God says, let me put something in you, some new life, a whole new understanding, a new outlook, a new perspective. Let me put that in you. And then when you prayed and asked God's forgiveness and put your faith in Christ and surrendered your life to God, there was something that came alive in you. You were born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God came and dwelt within you. Verse 9, Nicodemus said unto him, how can these things be? I don't understand. And Jesus says, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? You understand that the Holy Spirit, the anointing Spirit of God, is not new to the New Testament. But if we go to the Old Testament, we find the Spirit of God, one, for, you know, everybody remembers, is Samson, right? Saul, David, Solomon, all these kings, the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, Daniel, all these ones, especially Ezekiel, the visions, all of these things we see. But the Spirit of God came on them, even the judges in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God entered into them and gave them the authority and gave them the wisdom and gave them the understanding and gave them the direction, the instruction for living, which is what happens when we get saved. The Spirit of God comes alive in us. Verily I say unto thee, verse 11, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. Jesus says to Nicodemus, friend, understand something. I didn't read this in a book. I'm telling you from my experience. I'm telling you what I have seen. I'm telling you what I have experienced in my life. What about us? You want to know what people care to know? They want to know, what did Jesus do for you? When you're trying to lead your friend to Christ, you could go through the Roman road, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You could go through all of those scriptures. But you know what your friends and family and neighbors want to know? They want to know what happened to you. Jesus said, I'm telling you what I've seen. I'm telling you what I've done. I didn't learn this in school somewhere. This is life. What about it? I want you to think about your testimony. What has happened in your life since you accepted Christ? How has it changed? Well, I can tell you this. Number one, my sins are washed away, and that was a big cleansing. Amen. And I know I'm not going to hell, so the peace of God has entered into my life. I surrendered my life to God, so I don't worry about stuff. Because I believe this. I believe God will work things out. I need to put in the effort. I need to pay attention and do my part. But in the end, I cannot change the outcome. I got to do my part. That's the only part I'm responsible for. And I pray. And I pray for people. And I pray for God to heal people. I pray for God to make people whole. I don't, not just, you know, make them feel better. No, give them health. Give them life. Give them their memory. Give them their strength. Give them their wellness. Whatever it is that they're going through, I want God to fix it. That's what I pray for. I can't control what God does. Now, if we go the way of the doctors, as long as it gets fixed. But I pray for your wellness. I pray for your wholeness. And I mean, I pray for it for real. I don't just pray you'll feel better about your illness. I pray you'll feel better, that you'll get better. And I believe God can, but I can't control what God will do. And so I trust Him. I've learned to trust Him. And I'm still learning. How many of y'all still learning? I'm still learning. Man, God teaches me stuff all the time. But Jesus says, this is my life. I'm experiencing it. This is my personal experience. Develop a testimony that has to do with what's happened in your life since you got saved. Because that's what people care about. Not just what you read in a pamphlet somewhere. How has it changed your life? Jesus says, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what I've seen. But you don't believe me anyway. I don't have any credibility with you, Jesus says. So how can we take it to the next level if you don't accept this level? Isn't it incredible how we limit ourselves? How many of us have ever limited ourselves? They tell me, now I don't know, but I've read about it, and if any of y'all are elephant trainers, you inform me if I'm right or wrong. But they tell me that you can take a baby elephant and you can tie him, chain him to a little stone that's too heavy for him to move, and he gets used to being stuck to that stone, and he won't move. And when he grows big and has the power to remove that stone, he still limits his mind thinking that stone has him locked down. Now, I don't know if that's true or false. But I can tell you something. I've seen people, and I know people are that way. Because somebody told us something when we were young, told us we couldn't sing or couldn't teach or couldn't talk or couldn't would never amount to anything. And we've locked ourselves in that prison. And so guess what? We're never going to amount to anything. Because we've limited ourselves. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, if I can't get you to accept the earthly stuff, the little, how am I going to teach you anything else? That's why we shouldn't tell kids they're dumb. Shouldn't tell kids they're mean. Because guess what? When you tell them they are, they will be. By the way, same thing if you tell your wife or husband that. You keep telling them they are, they're going to live up to it. I know they were already mean when you married them. I know. But you married them. Have y'all read this verse in here? It says in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Have you ever seen that before? For God sent not his son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is that in there? God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Those people that think the church is just here to be against everything, just to condemn everything. No. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the whole idea, that we would be saved. And it says in verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already. Does it take a declaration of the church? Remember last week we talked about the lepers, right? In order to be declared contagious, right, you had to go to the health department, I mean the priest. And the priest would look at your sore. And he would say, yeah, you got it, buddy. You're contagious. And then they'd call the school and your job and see who you live with. And everybody else had to get checked Okay, that's different. That's a whole different thing. We've been through that one, haven't we? Same thing. But the priest had to declare. How many people do you think have had COVID that didn't go to the doctor because they didn't want the doctor to say, you got the stuff? Right? I know people that said, I think I got it. I'm not going to go. Right? And you think lepers did that too? They'd wear long sleeves so nobody could see. Their hands were falling off. They didn't want it because you had to go to the priest. And if the priest didn't say you were contagious, nobody knew. You still had it though. Listen to me. What I'm telling you now is nobody has to come to you and say you're condemned in your sin. The church doesn't condemn you. God doesn't have to tell you you're condemned. Nobody has to declare it to be the case. He that believeth not is condemned already. There's no paperwork, no declaration. It's already for sure. So if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, your eternity is determined because you have not chosen Christ. And the only way to change that is to choose Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a decision that only you can make for you. God paid the price. Jesus hung on the cross. The Spirit of God has awakened you to your need, and now it's up to you to say, God, I need Jesus Christ. I know I am a sinner. I know Jesus died for me, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul and bring my spirit to life. Give me that spiritual birth that Jesus spoke of. You see, Jesus says in verse number 19, the problem is this. Men love darkness rather than light. He said, light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He said, the light exposes our flaws. I think of the fellow who came to church and he said, my mom's getting cataract surgery. And she had one cataract and then she went back the next month and she had another cataract removed. And I said, well, if she had any problems, he said, yeah, one big problem. Now she can see all the dirt in her house. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have cataracts or clear vision? Would you rather be able to see the flaws in you or not? That's what the light is. The light exposes our flaws to us so we know what to fix, so we know what to work on, so we know how to improve. That's what the light does. But here's the problem. What did Jesus say? Men love darkness rather than light. You know why? Because we get comfortable in our wrongness. Well, this is the way I've always done it. Well, this is just the way it is. I'm too old to change. I know you've never heard or said any of that. You see, the problem is we settle for whatever comes to us passively. Three words. We get lazy. That's what it boils down to. Let me tell you something. Doing the right thing can sometimes be hard. Living right can sometimes be challenging. And let me say this, doing better doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. But once He saves us and that light comes on in our lives and we look around our own selves and we realize, I need to make some changes. I need to do some things I'm not doing and I need to stop doing some things I've been doing. And so we go to God's Word and God's Word gives us the direction for our lives. Final verse, verse 21. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. He said, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we'll seek the light of God so that we'll know what we need to improve in our lives. What about it this morning? Have you reached a point in your life where you're ready for God to change some things? Where you're ready for God to expose some things in your life so you can fix them? You say, well, that's the way I've always been. Then won't it be remarkable when God fixes you? Won't it be remarkable when God changes you? Brings you out of what you're in and brings you to what He has planned. Nicodemus had a struggle. He risked everything. But you see, he saw something in Jesus he was missing. And he said, if I don't get that, I'll never be satisfied. And Jesus says, you know what it is? It's the presence of Almighty God. It is the Spirit that only comes from spiritual birth. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much. We're thankful for those who've come before us to show us the way, that even if we're mature and we're accomplished and we're admired by our peers and supported by those around us, that we must be honest with ourselves when we realize something's missing. So God, we come to you. We surrender ourselves. And we receive what you have for us. God, save souls and change lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, this is your opportunity. Could you be honest with yourself right now and say something's missing? You don't have to come down the aisle. If you do, I'll pray with you. But you can pray where you are and say, God, something's missing. I need that. God, I need what's missing. Give me what's missing, Lord. Answer my need. Answer my cry. Give me what's missing. Amen. All right. Anything for we're dismissed? Some of y'all were singing that song. You didn't want it to quit, did you? It is well. Amen. That's the great thing about when we get saved, when we surrender everything to God. I know saved people that worry. You know, any of y'all know any saved people that worry? Don't raise your hand. But when you reach a point in your life where you just say, God, I just trust you. I'll do my part. I'll do what I can. But I trust you with the outcome. And that's really where we have to be. That's where peace is found. Anything before we're dismissed? Brother Foggy.
I saw something yesterday I haven't seen for several years. I'm watching football. And I can't remember if it was the Alabama game or the Oklahoma game.
It was the Alabama game.
That right when the guy was ready to kick the extra point, here came out the sign that said John 3:16.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that one.
Yeah. I haven't seen people do that.
It's been a while, yeah.
For a while.
I saw the Alabama quarterback when they were going into overtime, went in the end zone and prayed.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all watch that Alabama game? Any Alabama fans in here? Any Auburn fans in here?
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that game they played down in Gainesville, are we? We're going to leave that alone. Brotherhood is Sunday morning, 8:30. Amen. That's right. Don't forget that, guys. Plan to be here. Is all of it already worked out? Okay, all right. Plan to be here. Your end is ready, all right. Amen. Okay, anything else? Do pray for the gardeners, Claretta and Gary, and they do need some help. If you're willing to go over there and sit with him so she can get some rest, I can tell you she sure needs it. But only if you're available. I understand that it's difficult sometimes, but if you're comfortable doing that, if you'll get up with me, I'll give you the information, okay?
We were by there this morning. And she really...
Yes, absolutely. So get up with me if you're able to. And that the reason I say get up with me, it's not because I'm trying to control anything, but that way if, because I asked the other night, can anybody go over there? And I had three people that said, I'll go. And so if you have one person that's kind of organizing everything, then we can keep from five people showing up. Okay. All right. Gary and Claretta Gardner. Okay. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would, brother. Andy, would you dismiss us, please, sir?